episode 20. This is an EDH-centric podcast, but this week we're going to be doing something a little bit different because we're also going to be talking about the series, the aggressive and the awesome. But we're kind of missing one of our key components because he's currently out in the middle of, I think it's Las Vegas, beating the hell out of people in the streets. Christian, we love you. So we're going to end up just going on right ahead and keep it moving with my boy Cassidy here. Cassidy, introduce yourself.
Hello. Well, I've already been introduced, but anyways, as usual, just check out the article on tcgplayer.com in the Magic section on Thursdays. And I'm sure there's going to be another one coming up this week. What happens? Oh, actually, probably the M13 card review, because that's what I've been asked to do, so I will. That's it for now, though.
All right. And seeing as how it's just me and Cass, and everybody knows that if it was just me and Cass on the show by ourselves, it would be one boring-ass fucking show. And no one would listen. No one would download. So what do? We had to go out and we had to search the world for an additional awesome person to bring on to kind of try to balance out the absence of Chris. Andy didn't want to come on the show, so we decided to call Scotty Mac instead. Mr. Scotty Mac, let him know what's going on, buddy.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on the show. Mr. Scotty Mac here from all over Twitter, A-Team, and whatnot. I'm honored to join you guys tonight. I figure I'd fill in for that scrub because, you know, he's just so busy being so swag recording his own show tonight. So we thought, fuck that guy. Who needs that guy? And I joined you guys tonight, so it's pretty sweet. I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's the main reason why Andy didn't want to come over here, because apparently he had a more professional, well-thought-out show. And granted, our show notes have one note on it, and that note is probably the most important note of all. I'm not sure if Andy's actually going to be discussing this anytime recently. I know that, but the topic has come up. And anyone who's listened to Off Color Cast in the previous episodes knows that me and Cassidy have kind of been secretly working on a little something we wanted to bring to the people. And it's a tag team format for Commander. We've actually gotten a chance to do this for a little bit here, got a few games in, and we've got a few rules that we want to try to, go off, bounce off of each other. And we're going to discuss the various experiences that we've had with this format. So, all right, well, Cass, is there going to be, a segue here, or are we just going to just keep going?
I don't know. Do however you want. It doesn't matter. I mean, If we only have one segment, we could just...
Yeah, there would be no real reason to, segue into one segment, because then we would just segue into an outro, wouldn't we? That would just be kind of pointless.
I mean, yeah, Christian does all that shit anyway, so if he doesn't end up wanting to edit this one, that's not going to... It's not going to happen.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so you know what? We're just going to keep on rolling. And if Christian decides to do it, Christian doesn't. If he doesn't, you will know, because you will hear this in there talking about how Christian didn't want to do it.
Okay, you assholes. This is how we're going to do it. I'm going to leave this horrible part in, but I might also throw a song or two in, too. So deal with it.
Pretty much.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so... I am the fucking mental... Tag team format, you should make sure that we communicate. It's not to be confused with, two-headed giant or, any other team format in terms of putting players together. This is an all-new, wicked-ass concept that is just been way late to the game. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. So exciting. So go ahead.
Okay, so for all of the listeners out there, if you've listened to the previous episodes, you know that me and Cassidy, well, mainly Cassidy, has always had this thing for, we've all had a thing for wrestling here on Off Color Cast, and Cassidy in particular has a thing for tag team. So much, in fact, that he actually wanted to create a format for Commander, where you use two legendary creatures instead of one. Instead of just using your Omnath, Cassidy would, as your main green general, I may be combining him with Reese the Redeemed to get a nice little green-white deck going. And then having the two of them actually kind of work together. A part of our New Year's resolution for this year was actually to try to see if we could develop this format a little bit so we can actually try to have something to bring to you by the end of the year. And we've basically been deep down into the laboratory basement of Off Color Cast working on these things. We've actually had to go off to Canada to get a couple of people to help us with some of this assistance for this. Currently, Andy, as far as I know, has been involved. Mr. Scotty Mack here. Cassidy. Several other people whose names I refuse to mention due to the fact that I currently can't remember them. So, Cass, you want to try to introduce the folks here to the main concept behind your format that you've been trying to work on?
Sure. You know, as Calvin mentioned, I'm a big fan of tag team wrestling. Actually, I mean, like, it's what I prefer, honestly. And the original idea, too, was also to have, like, being able to mix color combinations of generals to come up with a new identity that was possibly four-colored. You know, for instance, if you made, like, a Glissa and Shroom tag team deck, that would be all colors but red, you know what I mean? So you'd have a four-color deck with four-color identity, but, you know, you don't necessarily have a four-color general. So that was the original idea I had, but the problem with that is that it's like a specific set of rules. You know, you're making a four-color deck with two tag team or with, you know, with two generals, but if other people aren't into it, you know, you technically can't actually play the four colors. So what's been happening is, well, me and Calvin played a few games of it last night where we basically just took decks that we already had that had two legends in it. You know, the normal legend of the deck and then maybe something else. For instance, a Doran, the Siege Tower, and Sapling of Kul'thuenar. That's what I was playing because the Sapling was in my deck. And that's how we were testing it out and just seeing how, you know, how it would work. And I think once we get it down and maybe it becomes more popular, people know what's going on, we can go back to trying to have four color decks like that. But in the meantime, that's how we've been testing it. But you know, Scotty Mack actually has a different experience because he's been playing it with his play group, if I understand. So why don't you let us know what's going on with your version of the tag team, Scott?
Sure. Yeah, we've been looking for a while to try to make, you know, deck building a little bit more exciting, and you know, we don't necessarily all subscribe to the, you know, powering down or, you know, like uber theming your decks or something like that, right? So we still wanted more. So when the idea of the Tag Team Commanders came up, I thought, oh, this is amazing. This is a way for us to make four-color decks without having to resort to making Nephilim's legendary bullshit rules, and because they're really just not that impressive on their own. And this way we could, you know, branch out. And so, like, I took it upon myself to build a four-color deck. I basically went all colors except for white. So I took my Damia deck and added Malphegor as the tag team commander. So it was a really sweet synergy, right? It allowed me, it was already a landfall deck anyway, allowed me to add red, you know, primarily so I could play Valakut. Which is really good in a deck that wants to basically just play all its lands all the time. So it's performing really well. It allowed me to like bleed in some extra cards, which are really good, like Cruel Ultimatum, just because, you know, it's this crazy deck. I put in like Wart the Raid Mother, shit like that. Anyways, bottom line is, it allowed me to branch out into a fourth color without having to go all the way into five color. Because, like, then you get into a lot of just sort of, like, cliche stuff, and then you're stuck with these terrible commanders. So this way I was able to still play good commanders and, you know, have a synergy that's tied to them, right? Because, like, Malphegor, I can play it, you know, Plague Wind the board, discard my hand, tag him out for Damia next turn, and I can refill my hand. So it's a pretty sweet little combo. Some other people from my playgroup, they went more towards the staying within their color wheel. Like, we had somebody that played a Brian Stoutarm deck that made the secondary general as Godo.
Sweet.
It was really good. And it actually ended up winning most of our games, right? Just, like, the mana consistency was fine. But, I mean, like, the synergy there between the two commanders is absurd, right? Because, like, you've got this equipment theme anyway, and you know, Brian's just the man. So that went really well. My brother went the way to play Kalia and Mail the Anima. Oh. So that way, you know, his deck's filled with big fatties anyway.
Oh, that's all. I really like that one. That sounds really cool, dude.
Right? So basically, it's like, imagine being able to play like a Kalia deck, right? Except being able to ramp. Right? like with green spells.
Jesus.
Anyway, so he had a lot of fun with that one, and I think that when I see him next week again, because we're going to run the experiment for like a month and just like play it for the next 4 weeks and see how it goes. So we've got a couple weeks under our belt so far, and he's going to really tune it up and give it some go. But yeah, I found that some of the decks that had a lot of thought into, you know, the two different types of commanders, like the two commanders that you add, they're the ones that performed better. Like the incidental, oh, well, I've got this guy, so I'll, you know, just play this legend as well. They didn't do as well because the deck wasn't focused to take advantage of it. So I think that if you're going to give this a try, I heartily recommend that you, like, take a look at a couple decks and just start from scratch. Like, start with a deck, make some changes. Say you change, like, 10, 12 cards or whatever. That's fine. It's a good place to start, right? But that way, it'll give you a really good idea of what this synergy is capable of, you know? Because it's not just like adding another rules layer into an already ridiculously complex game, right? But like, speaking of the rules layering, like, we haven't even talked about how this tag happens. So like, why don't we do that next?
Sure.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good place to go. Well, last night while me and Cassie were online playing around, we went with where you do tags, but there was no additional mana cost for the tags. You were only allowed to do one tag per turn. And when we played, it was you basically paid the mana cost difference between the two generals. So say, for instance, you had... Oh, I need a legendary creature.
Let's just say it's Janara and Rubinia, for example.
I would say that, but I have no idea who those are. So I'm going to let you say those. What's the converted mana cost on those?
So basically, Janara is Bant, so one of each, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And Rubinia is Bant and two.
Ah, yeah. So if you played the three... The Bant one, which would be blue, white, green.
Yeah.
You could play that turn three or whatever, you got it out. And to tag the other one in, you pay the two colorless and its actual cost, the blue, white, green as well. And they would come in and out. But you only get tagged once per turn. So this way we could try to make sure that neither one of us would ever, like, you know, try to combo off and just keep tagging them in and out if we happen to have excess mana to do it. Because, you know, you still kind of want them to work together, but, you know, you don't want them, like, running in and out of the field, just continuously wiping off the board. You know, because it's a casual format of a casual format. Last thing you want is, like, you know, another ultimate win condition just because you have two combo pieces. One of the other things we've implicated last night is that when the tags team, when the two legendary creatures are picked as your generals, they basically share... everything. The 21 points of damage, shared. One of them dies and gets exiled and ends up in the command zone without being tagged, and it gets the extra mana cost added to it, they share that. So what would end up happening, like in that same situation, the one that costs 5 mana and the other one that costs that 3 mana would now be...
5 and 7.
Like 5 and 7. Yeah, there we go. Other than that, anything else that we did put a tag last night? Can I remember, Cass? Because I'm like fucking whipped.
Yeah, that was how we played the first game, and then we were kind of like we were mostly pondering about what happens when both the generals are on the ring at the same time. in the battlefield, which we renamed ring for last night because we thought that was much cooler. So, enter the ring is actually enter the battlefield tonight.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're gonna wrestling this shit up, right?
Right. Exactly. And along the same lines, I was playing Selenia and Zura in my suicide deck, my near death experience deck. So that was the two generals, and then Selenia bounces to your hand if you pay two. So we were kind of sitting there like, what happens with Selenia's hand? Can I play Zer? You know, so we decided that there's we're going to use the system that wrestling uses, which is a legal tag or a legal partner and the illegal partner. So once you pay mana for a general, that becomes the legal partner. And the other general can never be in the ring at the same time, in the battlefield. And if they are, they automatically go to the command zone. So for instance, if you let a general go to your graveyard, he'll stay there. But if someone like Living Death and the legal tag partner, you know, the one that's not in play would come into play because of Living Death, it'll immediately go to the command zone instead. And same thing for like if someone tucks your general and then you, I don't know, you, like Mind's Desire him, and you can Mind's Desire him into play, that he would go to the command zone. So that was
this is assuming that your legal partner is already on the field.
Yes, sir. And right. If neither of the generals are tagged in, then there is no legal partner yet or legal tag partner, and then you're just kind of running without a general. But it only applies if you have one general in play and the other one incidentally comes into play. And for instance, in that scenario where Selenia was in my hand, if I wanted to put her back in the command zone, I would just play her from my hand, and she would go to the command zone without like incurring general tax, because she would be the illegal tag partner there because I played Xur, you know, after I bounced her.
Perfect. Yeah. Now, those are the same rules that we were playing under, too. And we found that it worked really well. There were, you know, by doing it that way, it discourages anybody looking to, you know, have any crazy general shenanigans, and the one tag return was really part of that, too. It really made it feel healthy and fair without, you know, too
constantly just having everybody coming in, going out, coming in, going out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It encouraged you to play the rest of your deck.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, in addition to that, too, if a general has a leap play trigger or a come into play trigger, those won't happen when they revert to the command zone. Like, it's like they never ever hit play or never ever, you know what I mean? Like, they never actually come into play, they redirect it right away. Kind of in the same way, like, you know, when that Child of Lara dies, you have to go to your graveyard, or it doesn't count. So it's the same idea there. But that's just all I wanted to add. So go ahead, Scott. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So also as part of the tag, right, like when you pay the mana to cast your second commander, like when it enters the battlefield, where were we at on bumping the previous commander out in terms of, like, do they ever actually exist in the ring at the same time?
No. Because the way me and Cash were basically using it is kind of like the legend rule. They basically, not like really legend rule, but kind of like, say for instance, you have Ib and Krenko, right? Ib is on the field and you're tagging in Krenko. You're going to use Ib to make tokens and try to use Krenko to double up the tokens or whatever the case may be, correct? But you can't have, when you tag Krenko in, it basically like blinks automatically straight to the command zone. Like, they don't see each other. They're not, like, they're not on the battlefield for, like, the 5-second rule or for whatever the case may be. They're just, like, gone. It's, like, it just, like, literally tags, jumps out, Krenko comes in.
Yeah, it's almost like an activated ability where paying the cost is returning your general to the current general to the command zone, you know, on the tag, and then the other one coming into play is the effect. So, you know, the way the costs are paid, they obviously happen first, and there's not really a way to respond to it. So that would be how I would say, you know, that's kind of how I would wrap up what Calvin was saying. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
As an activated ability actually is really good.
Yeah.
There you go. Cassie wrapped it up a lot nicer than I could have.
That's good. Perfect.
Another little quick side note, I actually kind of wanted to add about the concept too. Was that even though, like, how Scotty was talking about how his group is currently using it as the four color, as a way to get access to four colors without actually having to dig for the fifth color, I would actually like to let you know that this is also a great way to get into, like, the three color and dual color and single colors as well. Because sometimes when you're playing, like, red, white, and blue, you don't want to have to use Ruhan. I mean, don't get me wrong, Ruhan is great, but, you know, if you combined Nim the Pain Artist and Iona, you could still have a good, like, blue, white, and red deck without actually having to use the same one general. Because some of these triple colors only really have, like, what, four? maybe five.
Yeah, especially yeah. the wedges, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially like the wedges. The wedges only had like one or two before, and then they did the Commander product the previous summer, last summer, and now it's mm-hmm. like each one of them have like close to four or five, but still, like some of them are still really low in options. And this is like a nice way to dig into like the triple colors without actually having to resort to using one of those generals. And also, if you happen to find like a general that's in the proper color combination you want to use, you can always go with a nice two-color general as well. Something like, because one of the things I was actually thinking about doing for this when I get the chance is once Cockatrice updates, I'm going to try and see if I can use Talrad and Krenka to try to do like a nice little red-blue deck that doesn't automatically get hit off the grid.
Nice.
Okay. Hold on, hold that second.
Yep.
See if I can feed this baby. All right, there. Is that going to be enough to get you to be quiet? All right, yeah, good. Let's see, what else did I want to like add on to this as well?
Even monos are good, man. Mm-hmm. Like Carl, I was talking to Carlos about this, and he's like, "Oh my god, I can't wait! I'm so excited! I'm completely building." Darien and Elishnor.
Yeah. I almost played that deck yesterday against Calvin. I just took my Darien deck, and I was going to just play Elishnor, and I mean, it's pretty much the same deck. You just have you have two really powerful commanders to choose from.
Well, and you get the sick-ass 1-2 punch, right? They're like, right. Oh, Alpha Strike you. Sure, take it all, make a million guys, switch out my Elishnor and kill you. That's so good.
Oh, and the other thing I actually kind of like about this is it allows you to be able to use Karn as a general without having to search out, like, every non-basic land that doesn't tap for a mana at any time.
Yeah.
Because you could actually combine Karn with Memnite, or you can combine him with Reese. You can combine it with basically any commander. And if you still wanted to just go with, like, the mono, like, artifacts, you can combine him with, like, Bosh. And, you know, you got, like, just use red for the mana base. Throwing a few mountains and you're good. What's the other basics work here? Did I just cut you off, Scott?
Huh?
Did I just cut Scotty off?
No.
Oh. Okay, not for some reason. I thought I lost you for a second here.
Nope, we're good.
Let's see. But yeah, like the basic rules are pretty much almost exact same as like a regular commander game. With the exception of, like, the tag rule and the double general and, you know, a few, like, tweaks here and there. But keep in mind, like, this is still, like, a format that we're all kind of still working with and testing on. It's not, like, an official... This is not the official announcement of it, but more of a nice way for us to kind of discuss it together.
Welcome to the beta.
Yeah,
yeah, to the beta testing of this. Keep in mind, as far as I know, no one currently that's playing this is a judge.
Yeah.
So if there happens to be like a rules question, we're all kind of like just casual players shooting the shit on this particular idea.
Yeah.
I'm particularly bad
with rules too. So.
Yes. Yeah, so don't try to come up with like some like Kaldor comes in, gets minus general attacks, and we use Ashling to pump the general attacks up. What happens if they do? Like, we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
Like we haven't literally got to that point yet.
Yeah, the thing is with this is like you have to remember that even if you did, so let's just say you did have that situation, it's Caridor and Ashling, right? And you have a general tax of 4 sitting on your generals right now. You still play Caridor for 3 because your graveyard's full. But if you want to tag Caridor out, you have
Ashling
to pay.
Still has to pay for like the general tax.
You still have to pay the 4 tax on this. Like you're still paying 6 to tag in Ashling, right? So it is possible that you can do some really crazy shenanigans with this, and you know there's ways to really sort of blow the doors open. But as we progress, I'm sure with you know discovery, there will be likely some combinations, or maybe there's going to be some commanders that come along that'll just not be ideal for this format as commanders. You know, like. Braids was banned as a commander, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I'm sure that as we do more investigation, stuff like that's going to come up, right?
Yeah. Right. Like, you know, there's too many cards currently in Magic's history for a corner case scenario to not show up where we're going to have to be like, well, you know what? this card and this card are just too broken to have continuous access to. So in order to play this format, this tag combination has to be banned.
Yeah.
You can play this legend, but you can't play him with this legend or whatever. However, the ban list ends up actually shaking out. That's how it will, but that's when we get to that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, so at the moment, question real quick, though. So, like Linvala shuts off activated... So here's the challenging piece that we need to work through, right? So Linvala shuts off activated abilities of your opponents. We want to try to treat the tag as an activated ability, but at the same time, you don't want to, like, put the kibosh on being able to tag your general out. And the ability to tag is nice because it's not actually a spell, so you can't actually counter it. But, like, can you stuff it with Linvala then, or what?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking more like Hinder even, because that's, like, such a universal douche card, you know what I mean? I think in Linvala's case, she only affects creatures, if I'm right, right? Your opponent's creatures. So, I mean, in that case, like, yeah, we can just, like, cop out and be like, it's not an ability of the creature, whatever, it's an ability of the player or something. But could it be hindered?
The first one can.
Right.
and actually, that's a good point, you're talking about hinder. So I want to come back to that, but carry on and finish your thought.
Maybe we should allow it to happen. If we have it as an activated ability, which is fine, a Voidbane Husher might come in and make it so the general comes out, you know, but the other one never comes in. I mean, that's kind of cool. I kind of like the way that some of those cards, like a Stifle, will gain more, like, utility and just kind of do more. That sounds kind of fun. It might be a bitch, actually, in the end, but I like the flavor of it, at least, just two tag partners getting screwed up or something, I don't know.
Okay. I really like... So why do you like the format? Why do we like it? Playgroup actually generally found the format experience to be very positive. There was a lot of really, you know, good thoughts and good discussions that came out of the experience of playing this format. I know that Andy's playgroup had sort of an indifferent drive to it, but I don't believe that they went out of their way to, you know, make any sort of actual customizations to deck lists. I think they just kind of, you know, did the whole pull a commander out and try it. And it's not the same as when you're building with a team plan in mind, you know? But what we found was that, like, the typical problem with commander games at a casual table is that they just go way too long because the game gets to a point where nobody's moving forward, you know? Being able to have, like, a plan A and then a plan B in your commanders was really good to help alleviate that problem. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned hinder, so there's two things. So, example, my son decided to play Kalia, which is his primary, you know, commander, and he added Kaervek the Merciless as his secondary commander.
Nice.
Okay, so what he would do is he would vomit a bunch of guys onto the table, bash your face so you get down to about 10 life, and then tag into Kaervek and look at him and go, come at me. Because, like, you got to spend how much to try to deal with the board state, right? And it's going to kill you in the meantime. So it was really nice because it gave him a reliable way to close out games. We had some other experiences where, you know, there was, like, a Maelstrom Wanderer deck. The first commander that we need to ban as part of the tag team is Azusa.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I was thinking Omnath and Azusa, and I'm like, oh, that seems almost douchey.
Yeah, you know? So Azusa is like the first one that just needs to come off the list because, I mean, we had a Maelstrom Wanderer Azusa deck, which got just out to lunch very quickly. So yeah, we should make sure we make that comment. But yeah, it was nice because even... like, somebody would play their first commander, and then it would get hindered or crumpled or tucked or whatever, and it was okay because that player wasn't totally effed. They still had another commander they could play with, and they still had a viable plan, you know, at their disposal. So it turned out to be a really, really nice experience in that way, you know, because, like, oh, well, you got this one, but I still got this one in reserve, you know?
Oh, I just want to say real quick, I meant Trickbind when I was saying hinder earlier. That would explain why no one knew what I was talking about. Sorry, Trickbind, but Hinder actually works too, so that works, but I actually meant earlier, trick binding the activated ability. Mm-hmm. So, sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, it's so the feedback was really good because like the games progressed, they all closed out very quickly. You know, and it really behooves you to kind of be in a situation where you can have an early general and then, you know, like a late game one. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played it a lot, just because I don't have a lot of different people I play against, and, like having the few people I do play against, like try to spend a tag team was just too much. But when me and Calvin played last night, we mostly just played with, like, you know, like you were talking about, Scott, just the decks that already
like
had
the already existing decks we had. Mm-hmm.
But I think since we build decks with a lot of synergies anyways, it worked out pretty well. Calvin had the Taysa and Vishkal deck, and we called that the Married with Children deck because Vishkal's totally Al Bundy sitting there in his
Nice.
Because literally, that's all he really did last night. Like, because when we were saying, when you have like the plan A and the plan B, Taysa basically was plan A. You get her out, and you're using her to remove stuff and make tokens and try to get some board presence until you can build the mana up to Vishkal. But then, like, once you get to Vishkal, you have, like, this giant bomb creature that can just hit the board and just start, like, murdering stuff and lifelinking and gaining you extra life that you lost from earlier battles and taking advantage of all the tokens that Taysa made earlier. And that's if you get to that point. And, like, you know, the thing about it is, like, she was basically doing most of the work with him just kind of coming in as, like, the janitor sweeping up afterwards.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like in the game we did but the only thing about it is like the game that we played last night, I never got around to actually casting Vishkal because by the time I got to that mana to actually play him out, I had to be very careful because Cassidy was he had near death experience out, mm-hmm. and he was intentionally bringing his life points lower. So if I brought Vishkal out and I tried to do the wrong thing, Cassidy could have, like, tapped out, brought his life points to one, and then, like, automatically won on the next up team.
Ah, gotcha.
He had the Orzhava Guildmage out, though, so it was kind of like, if I put myself at one, he either gains me a life or kills me. So this is kind of shitty for the death experience.
The other general we found that we had a lot of problems with as a secondary commander was Venser.
Mm.
Because we found that, you know, and like commanders with flash are just good anyway, mm-hmm. right? Because you basically have like built-in protection from, you know, spot removal for your other commander.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a potential issue as well. Mm-hmm. But also his just ability to bounce shit in and out of the command zone is, you know, really just repeatably abusable. Mm-hmm. So between, you know, Venser and Azusa, I think those are the two that we had challenges with.
Okay, well, that brings up the point of, like, would we make the tag a sorcery-only ability? Like, even if the general does have flash, like, I don't know if... Because then if you can only do it once a turn, that means that, like, Venser can basically, like, flash in a lot if you have another general with flash, you know, just flashing back and forth like Venser and Vendilion click. Jesus Christ.
Still once every turn, but like once each player's turn, right? Like
yeah.
It another dimension for the blue deck to be terribly douchey.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I want to agree with you. Like I want to say, yeah, just like keep it to sorcery speed, but like there was nothing quite like having Alchemist Refuge up and being able to threaten to cast Malfagor at a moment's notice. So like... I really like that interaction too,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, hey, it's either whatever we want to do to try to keep it fair, right? I think that, go ahead.
But even then, like, if you tried to keep the tag at sorcery speed, then it would kind of just defeat the purpose of playing like legendary creatures with flash anyway.
Yeah.
But then the only way you would be able to play them is if you never had a general on the field in the first place, and then you could cast Venser for flash. But then you couldn't be able to take them back out on the next turn if you had, like, secondary flash or, like, what's that other green one? Yeva?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like, you could, like, if you, like, flash Vincer in and bounce something in, like, what, you'd be able to flash Yeva in, too, and then just flash her, like, bring bring Bensur back and then just start bringing all your creatures in on the other turn?
Can't you just see the whole, like, Yeva, Venser, Primeval Titan, Seedborn Muse shenanigans happening every turn?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. That's why I would say that if we were to ban certain things, it would have to be something along the lines of, like, these generals can't be partners. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not that Venser and Yeva can't be partners with other creatures.
You just have to set the rule that both commanders cannot have flash.
Right, something along that lines.
Yeah, because like it's no problem to play with one that's flash and one that isn't. Except, fuck, I guess Teferi has to be banned as well?
Yeah.
As a secondary commander?
And then you worry about like the Vedalken Orrery, which will give all your creatures flash, right? So it's like...
Well, yeah, so we get it. But you can't ban stuff like that either, right? But like those are cards that get hoops. You can deal with those. I don't know.
I mean, I'm almost just willing to let it be that maybe you can only tag in during your turn. Maybe if it's not at sorcery speed, then you can still flash and stuff like that. But I really don't see the need to like make it so that like flash is better than it already is. You know, it's already like easily one of the greatest evergreen texts that they gave anything. You know what I mean? Any card with flash is definitely worth its price unless it's way overpriced or a small body. So I'd have to say that maybe we can just bite it and say, you know, you can only tag during your turn. And it kind of makes sense when you think about it thematically with wrestling. If you're getting your ass kicked in the corner, you're not going to be able to, like, Dalzim a tag, you know what I mean?
You had to actually wait until they got back to your corner.
Right.
Like if you're playing, if one of your generals is currently on somebody else's turn, technically he's in their corner. You know, from a wrestling standpoint, because if you're playing a four-player game, there's four corners. So there's your corner and then your opponent's corner. And if your general is in the other person's corner on their turn, you know, it's not like they could just dive across the ring every time just because they can. Unless, of course, they were like Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, but we all know that if Sin Cara is involved, somebody's getting hurt, and not in a good way.
Yeah, no, actually, I like that flavor-wise too. That's good. Yeah, you can only tag on your turn, but you can still cast your commanders if it's the first time, or if you know there's no commander on the field.
If there's no commander in the field, there's no legal commander, therefore there's no way to tag, so you can bring Venser in.
Yeah.
But, like, say if Venser's out and you have Teferi in your command zone and they're both your commanders, Teferi can't come out because Venser's out there. The only way for Teferi to come out would be for Venser to go away, and you can only tag them during your turn at sorcery speed.
Like it.
So.
Yeah. That's good. A rule!
There we go.
Okay.
Let's see. Other things that we wanted to talk about with this format? One of the other good things I actually really did find interesting about this is, like, we've talked about having the plan A, plan B by having a big guy in the background and the small guy in the front, kind of like Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash, you know, going out there.
Yeah.
With Shawn Michaels taking care of the early match, but then, you know, just sending in big Kevin Nash to finish everything off so he can get the quick pin. But one thing I've actually found out is the other night, like, when you use generals that have mana costs that aren't too far apart, or have, like, very similar mana cost, they can actually be able to be pretty intriguing because you can actually bring them in on a continual basis every other turn. Mm-hmm. Or basically every turn. Every chance you have a chance to tag. Ignore what I said a moment ago. You know what I mean? Ignore what I said. I really don't want to say it, but I'm going to have to. I'm sorry, Christian, but Aisling and Thorgrim. Yes, I was playing Aisling the Third Room with Rika Mar, whatever the name is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 2/2 haste chick that taps and puts a 3/1 elemental token in. And the good thing I found out about this deck was that if you played it right, Aisling could come in and basically be like your little earthquake, like early game beat stick. But Rakamar wasn't that far behind, because if something ever occurred, Aisling could wipe the board. You could just bring Rakamar out and then have her just throw down a 3/1 token with haste and swing in for an additional 3. And anything, and the thing is, the deck that I had was mostly like Ashling, a ton of mountains, so there was always like mana for her ability and for Rock or Mars' ability. But it also had like a sub theme of like equipments. So there actually would come a point where Ashling's defense would be big enough to survive her own earthquake. But the thing is that if a situation occurred where Ashling would not be able to survive an earthquake, Rock or Mar could always come in and throw down a 3-1 token that could actually be able to pick up the same amount of equipments. And in the situation where, like, because with this deck, there was really only basically her, and basically it was just the two ladies. I mean, there were a few other creatures, but it's basically just them. And Rock or Mar basically was able to come in and just continuously put out 3-1 tokens because her tokens don't go away. So you could use her as a way to kind of like generate the field. But if a board wipe ever was actually needed, you could kind of bring in Ashling and use her similar to like a Child of Alar.
Wow.
That was a pretty fun game. I was playing that Doran Sapling deck that I talked about, which is basically my Tree Fort Wall deck. And I had Ensnaring Bridge in play since turn 3. Mm-hmm. And I was attacking with Indomitable Ancients with Doran in play, so I was hitting for 10 every turn, and he's just throwing up the elements to block. So there was that, too. There was, like, his deck was almost like mono-red control because of the way he could make blockers or just wipe the field, and it was really interesting. And it kind of, out of all the games that we played, that was the one where, like, the tag mechanic was most in effect because he was tagging in and out more. They had different strategies, so it was more important to have Rock or Mar in play this turn, and Ashling needed to come and play this turn, that sort of thing. So, like, that was actually where I finally was like, okay, this is a pretty sweet. The one deck I want to mention, even though I actually didn't play either of the generals because I just was, man, here, Calvin was so massacred, and I just kept drawing into good cards, was Throwmok. The Insatiable, the new Devour X guy, and then and Wart the Raid Mother.
Yeah.
And I just like the combination is awesome. Make a bunch of tokens. I mean, Wart was already in my deck, and she's a great combo piece with like stuff like fuck, I can't remember off the top of my head. The Astronaut's Altar and Nim Deathmantle. There you go. So I like she's a combo piece in herself, and I just like the idea of Wart like riding Throwmok, or like, you know, kind of like a like something from Marvel vs. Capcom, you know, where like the characters are all cartoony and she's like hanging out with a giant ass worm. I just thought that was the coolest part of the whole deck.
Yeah, I feel like you could do really well. You can do really well by picking either commanders that have like really good synergy together, like as a 1-2 punch, or more importantly, pick two commanders that shore up each other's weaknesses. Right, just like as you said, like in the case of like the Ashling and the Rock or Mar, right? Like Ashling has this controlling element, and then Rock or Mar comes in and creates board presence instantaneously. You know, and I think that, you know, if you start looking towards those sorts of solutions for your commander pairs, that you're going to really get a lot out of the format.
And I mean, that's really the whole point, right? I mean, why would you build a deck that's just two dudes, you know, just like hanging out? You know, you wanted to get them together, and that's the whole point of having 98 cards and then two generals, is so that you can do something different. And that's why, like, for that deck that I just mentioned, Wart and Throwmok, like, it's kind of doing the same deck, but like it's the synergies make it so you have more tactics, better closing game. It's just more fun. And then you mentioning also like the complimentary, you know, that's awesome too. And then, but just having two random guys just because you like these two guys, I mean, that's kind of like in the wrestling world when they throw together two singles wrestlers and the matches are awkward, you know, and they only do it to fill in time until the next pay-per-view. So, I mean, don't make that kind of tag match. Make a tag match that's awesome, like Motor City Machine Guns or something. Come on.
Yeah.
But in the same token, sometimes even if you do decide just to pick two guys just because you want to use them, you do get a chance to actually potentially come across like combinations that you didn't even realize that they actually might have had. Like, because even like because with the like what was it the last night with the Ashling and Rock or Mar, the only reason I like picked Rock or Mar was like I had an Ashling deck that has about like four other red legendary creatures in it. And the main reason I have them in there is due to the fact that sometimes I want to play Ashling, sometimes I want to play Rock or Mar. Sometimes I want to play Ib. You know, who knows? I don't know what I want to do at the moment, and I don't want to play the same deck in a regular commander game where I show up at the table and somebody else has an Ashling deck or somebody else has an Ib deck. So, you know, I just had these generals already in the deck. Granted, they never actually really came into play because there's only about, like, six of those creatures in there, and then everything else is basically mountains, equipments, and a few different spells here and there to make tokens. But that's basically the deck that I had. But the good thing about it is you don't really notice the interaction between these generals until you actually toss them together. Yeah. Like, I had no idea that Rakumar and Ashley were actually going to be that well combined, like, work that well together as, like, the Void Presence versus the Void Controller. And actually makes, like, a mono-red deck that you wouldn't really be ashamed to play most of the time. Because, you know, people are always getting on red about it, like, not really being able to do much in Commander. But in this format alone, I've already seen, like, several red decks that are actually pretty damn good in comparison. Like, just the idea of combining, like, Ib and, like, Franco. Because you could use Ib to, like, sacrifice mountains to get tokens, and then you could use Franco to make the, to double the tokens.
Yeah.
Or you could use Franco to make tokens, and then just use Ib as a way to turn those tokens into, like, little, 4 damage fireballs that burn stuff that blocks them. Because, you know, it has a second ability that a lot of people have a tendency to forget about. Like, if he's out there and the goblins attack and get blocked, they sacrifice and do, what is it, 4 damage, 2 damage, yep, something like that?
It's four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. So it's like, you know, like, so, like, you could easily just have, like, Krinko come out, make a bunch of tokens, and then tag in Ib, send the tokens in suicidal, like, oh, the tokens died, or didn't, if the tokens don't die, okay, fine, next turn, tag Krinko in, let Krinko make more tokens.
Actually, I have another example of a tag team deck I made, but I didn't play because I figured it would probably be too powerful to test out first. And that's, like, I basically just took my Omnath deck, which wins with Kamal, as Fist of Kurza, and made them the two generals. You know, it's basically, it plays the exact same as my deck, my Omnath deck does with, you know, 99 in the general. Right, exactly. So, like, that's another way you can do it, too, where you just take a deck that's familiar with you, and maybe like a combo piece general or legend later on in the, you know.
If one of your major win conditions is a legendary creature, might as well make him the secondary commander. At least that way you know exactly where he is, so when you're actually ready to go off with him, you can use him.
Right.
Now, the only thing you want to be wary about that is, though, like, I tried that with, I used Caridor and Gave.
Oh, okay.
And it telegraphs itself kind of mightily, right? It's similarly, like, play Micaius the Unhallowed as one of your secondary commanders and see how long you live at that table.
Yeah, really. Right. Yeah, Vishkal and Micaius, like, you douche. Well, I guess, actually, they're only infinite when they're both in play, so that's not a problem.
Right, but you get the idea, right? Like, right, you really want to kind of look at it and go, you know, try to do something that's not going to raise too many alarm bells at the table.
You know, unless, of course, you're just the kind of person that want to go balls to the wall like that and just say, you know, fucking arm the torpedoes. I don't give a damn what anyone at the table says. I'm going to do this, and you're going to watch me do it. Then, you know, then you have to remember, like, if you are the kind of person that's going to go that direction, it's going to be your two commanders versus six at a regular table, because it's going to be basically, like, you know, because it's not just you. You have to remember, there's going to be, like, 3 other players there on average. And those other players are going to have their commanders that are tags as well. So even if they see that you have, like say, like what Cassidy was saying with what was it, Omnath and...
FOK.
FOK?
Yeah, Fist of Kurza.
Fist of Kurza. There we go. And they're like, but Omnath, Fist of Kurza, if you see that and you realize, like, oh, he's just using Fist of Kurza as his win condition, I'm pretty sure that between the three of you, you can before the Fist of Kurza actually comes down, you can figure out a way to try to outpower the Omnath or over mana fill his general attack so that the Kurza can't come out.
Right.
Because if you keep destroying the Omnath, eventually Kurza's converted mana cost is going to be too fucking high, and it's just going to be Omnath working it by himself.
Yeah.
Drag that fucking Omnath to your corner and stomp his ass out and make Kurza sit in the other corner and watch.
That's right.
Hey.
Tag me, man. Tag me.
That's right.
So, we also have the benefit of having things banned from ringside. You know, there's like a nice little...
I'm trying to say there's no sideboard.
No, actually, I know what I was going to say. Actually, what I was trying to say is when we talk about the banned cards, you know, I'm sure we'll start off with the normal EDH ban list, because even though it's probably not the best, I mean, it's a good place to start. And we're already talking about banning combination of generals, but how do you guys feel about almost like the French ban rules, where they fix their format by just kind of ignoring what the rules committee is doing? Would we be willing to just be like, well, survival of the fittest is banned, you know? Would we be okay saying that in tag team? You know what I mean? Because at this point, like, you make the argument, well, we let people use these powerful cards because they can't use them other places, and like, they just want to play with their cards. But like, now we're talking about tag teams, and it's like, well, you can just play regular EDH and play with survival of the fittest. Just don't bring it to our game, you know? Is that something you guys would be willing to do? And also, I would like to say, with commanders that can't be used together, we could just say that they have feuds. You know, they don't get along well enough to be commanders.
I like the idea of that being like just the ban list, just the ban list and the feud list. These commanders can't be together. They hate each other.
I feel like, I mean, so this is the one place where I think Andy and I do agree, and it's frustrating as hell that I've got to agree with him when he's so crotchety on the point. But like, in this situation, we're looking to layer more rules over top of an already existing variant of an already existing game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the interest of trying to get more people to pick it up, you want to try to make it as simple to adapt to as possible. So I think that, you know, it's something to look at in terms of, you know, let's get everyone out there playing it. Let's get your feedback.
Let's get a base in person.
You know, let us know sort of what you think or what cards or what interactions you're finding extremely troublesome. And then, you know, build it out from there, right? Because I feel like you want to just run with the same ban list that everyone else runs for now. You know, you can have an exception list for, you know, commanders in this format. Like we said, like, Azusa obviously is a big one because she just gets dumb and then you play some big guy afterwards and it's not fun for anyone else at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside of that, like, we'll just, you know, let it run and see what happens.
Would Raphelos be unbannable and Azusa would take his place? I guess, I mean, you still could just make another mono green deck. So maybe that's not the best idea.
Like, well, the main reason I would probably go with, I would honestly, like, if we did happen to use this, I would probably say we would still use the same ban list that regular commander uses anyway.
Yeah.
Due to the simple fact that, like, let's put it like this. Gristlebrand apparently is too good in a format where he's the only general. And now you're talking about making a format where not only is he a general, but you also have another general that can actually help you get to him quicker. Or you have another backup general, like, because, like, I mean, granted, I understand, like, a Gristlebrand and what's his name, the mono black dragon that everybody hates so much for some
fucking
Kokusho, like a Gristlebrand and a Kokusho deck would actually seem like a pretty intriguing way to build a mono black set. But let's be completely honest here: if those two cards on the ban list, there's a very good reason they're on there, except for maybe Kokusho, which I debate. But you know what? Hey, I've never seen Kokusho in play. As far as I know, the few times I have played against him, it's been fine. It's just, you know, but whatever the reason, he's on there.
We play with him in our playgroup, and we have for quite some time. And there's a couple people that run him in their lists, and for the most part, it's not that bad. We've only had it hit with a Rite of Replication once, so it's not terrible. But speaking to... You know, can you imagine a situation where you had Azusa and Gristlebrand as two co-commanders? Right? So you're just like, okay, well, I'll just ramp out all this land. And, look, eight on three. Gristlebrand, kill you all? Like, terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, Azusa is definitely a good call for banning. Is there any other generals that you guys can think of, or even... just, you know, combinations of generals that might need to get axed right away? I mean, we talked about Teferi a little bit when we talked about Venser and Flash and so forth. But is there any other combinations you guys can think of that is just, like, absurd?
I think that by making the tag only available during your turn,
mm-hmm.
like making the tag available then, I think that fixes a lot of the broken stuff that we were experiencing.
Okay.
But like Azusa just makes it unpleasant for everyone else because she comes down so quickly, and I mean she's so effective at what she does, right? I mean, nobody likes playing against the mono-green Azusa deck anyway.
Yeah, let alone a mono-green Azusa deck that has a win condition waiting for you to hit the X land.
You got it. So that sort of seems to be the number one problem as far as I see it. And then otherwise upholding the other bans are fine.
Shut up, kid. No one wants to hear you complain about Azusa.
But Daddy, she's so mean. So, but yeah, that's good. And otherwise, yeah, it seems fine. We've had a lot of really, really good games that, they operate on many axes at a time, and it's been really, really effective. You know, we've really enjoyed the experience, and we're looking forward to more.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to playing some more tag team games myself. Hopefully we can get more of it set up. It was pretty easy to just pull decks off of cockatrice that we already had, you know. I'll build decks specifically for it. I actually did have one built, but I couldn't find it.
I had a Reese deck. It was a Reese the Redeemed and Reese the Exiled.
Oh, yeah.
But for some reason, when I looked onto I had it built, but when I looked into the file, there was only 72 cards in the deck, and I couldn't figure out where the other missing, 28 cards was. I'm looking at it, like, what the fuck? and it wasn't the land, Scott. It's like I'm sitting there staring at it, like, what the hell did I miss? And I'm like sitting there staring at it, like, what am I missing? How did I get to 72 cards and like not finish this deck? And then by that time it was like midnight. I didn't feel like going through the process of trying to finish a deck up just so I could play one game with. So I just picked up one of the other random decks I had. But yeah, one of the other good things about this format, it's one of the formats where if you play Commander, you will be able to play this with your friends because, you can easily just take a Commander deck that has more than one legendary creature in it, like your Commander and one other creature in the deck, and you can just swap them into the tag zone and boom, you're ready to play tag Commander with your friends. Granted, it might not be as, pinpoint accurate or as efficient as the other decks are that were custom made for it, but you could at least still be able to experience it without even. And you know what your investment for it would be? Zero. Outside of what you've already invested in Commander, you would be investing at $0.00, because you could actually play the format exactly as you would play Commander, just putting this card there and following a slightly different set of rules.
Yep, pretty much.
And then if you didn't like it with your friends and you're all just doing it with the one general from the deck and the one legendary creature from the deck, you could always just take the guy, put him back in there, and just continue playing a regular game of Commander. It's a nice way of actually saying, this one deck is actually designed to play in two totally different formats that involve 100 cards.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to kind of finagle a little bit if you're making the four-color decks like that. Like the Damia Malfagor deck that you actually showed us via email. That was a really sweet deck, and that was kind of got me wondering. It's like, yeah, I mean, that deck's awesome, but if you came against someone that was like, no, you can't play four-colored two generals, you'd be like, oh, all right, I guess I got to grab a different deck. That's the one thing.
That's when you just have the sideboard, and in the sideboard you have the Child of Valar. You feel me? You use the Child of Valar as the general for the regular game. Because you know what? That's what everybody wants, right? You want a legal general. Here you go.
Yeah.
But if we're just playing the four-color tag generals, then it doesn't make a difference because I've got this guy, so I can slap them right here. Yeah. So what? I've got a Child of Valar deck that has, no red cards and no mountains in it because I built it to be four-color.
That's okay. I have a command tower, bitches. Yeah. I've got a caster.
There's enough multicolored lands here to tap that red if I need it. I've got a Darksteel Ignite.
So thoroughly encourage everybody to try this out. This is awesome. And for those of you that have been following along on Twitter or have been paying attention to the A-Team podcast, I called the Booze Cube being the best thing to happen to like Q cube drafting and party magic in a long time, this is one of the most fun things I've done with EDH in a long time. So the pedigree is there. The seal of approval is fucking stamped on this shit. It's awesome. It's so much fun.
There you have it, guys. There you have it, folks.
All right. And that sounds like that's going to be the end of this segment, and let's get ready to go to what would potentially be the outro.
Sure.
All right, so this was a pretty good episode of our Prolercast, episode 20. Pretty sure that usually last season we ended on episode 10.
Yep.
So when Christian comes back, we may or may not be doing another episode. We may be going on vacation after this, depending on how he feels. You know, Christian might want to come back and decide he want to tell you about all the asses he bust over the weekend. And I'm not talking about in the ring. I'm talking about, like, at that hotel room. Hot, sweaty men all over the place.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
But, yeah, enough about this. It's time for us to all get ready to say goodbye here. So let's let my... Scotty Mac, yeah. Like, thanks for coming on, and we're going to let you go right ahead and do your outro and plug whatever you're going to plug and shout out whatever you're going to shout out and stuff. And
sure. So, shout out, obviously, to all my homies over at the A-Team, and big thanks to you guys for having me on. Really pleased to be a part of this, you know, experience. It's something that I'm really enjoying, and I know my playgroup is, too. So, shout out to all of those guys in my playgroup. Shout out to Andy for not coming on tonight so that I didn't have to deal with his bullshit, because he's fucking just whining about not... Yeah, he doesn't come on my show either. anyways. Fucker! Fucker!
You know, we're fucking recording like right now with somebody else, but you couldn't take time to swing by our color cast and say what's up. Sending us your damn letters with gold, border heads and diamond encrusted, telling us to stop.
Swag. So, yeah, I guess outside of that, give this a try, guys, and get at me. You can reach me on Twitter at Mr. Scotty Mac. It's MrScottyMac. You can also, that same MrScottyMac@gmail.com. And looks like I should have some articles coming up soon on manadeprived.com, so keep an eye out for that. But, yeah, that's it.
Sweet.
Okay, Cass. Actually, you know what? You know, I'm going to let you go last, because, you know, it's going to sound kind of wrong for me to say Calvin take us home and then say my part. So, I'm going to go now. This is Calvin, also known as Captain Redzone around the internet. If you're looking for me, you can always find me on offcolorcast.com. This is going to probably be one of the most heart-wrenching things I've ever actually had to say on the show, but it's a very... very, very good chance that you will not be seeing me write for creaturetheface.com anymore. I still own it, and it will still be my main URL. I'll use it for my archive for the previous things I have written. You can still go there to see my previous writings, but currently, if you see anything from me, it will probably be posted on offcolorcast.com, because I currently cannot see myself continuously working for two totally different websites at the same time. But, yeah, but, like, if you get a chance to, swing over to offcolorcast.com. We have articles over there. We have a show over there. My main man, John, is posting up articles with his theme deck over there. Recently just posted his silly hat deck. And by the time you listen to this, there should be another one in the works, or at least posted up. I'm not sure what it is yet, because it hasn't come in. Shut up, girl. Don't want to hear that crying and whining. We know that you don't like the show to end, but it has to happen sometime, okay? She knocked the microphone out of my ear. She's so violent. Yeah, so
next, like, Divas champ up in here.
Yeah, she's violent. She's gonna give AJ a run for her money. Yeah, so if you're looking for me, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Off Color Cast page, all over the place, Gmail, MySpace, Your Space, Her Space, and that's basically it. So come on, Cash. Time for you to finish this up and get us out of here so we can all go to bed.
Clean up crew up in here. Again, always check out the articles over at TCR. Get a lot of stuff wrong. It's fun. You'll enjoy it. Or not. Whatever. I'm at Right or Wrong on Twitter, and I don't think I'm following Scotty, so that's going to have to be remedied here pretty soon. And, yeah, I mean, I don't have much to say. This is all I do anymore. So thanks, Scott, for coming on. Thanks, Calvin, for basically hosting because Christian isn't here. And thanks, Christian, for not being here. so see you guys later.
Thanks later, people.